I want you to pray for the choir this morning. I kind of put Sister Judy on the spot this morning. We haven't done this song in a while, but it's one of my favorites, and she is one of my favorite singers, so it's going to be good. But you pray for her as she leads the choir in Sinner Saved by Grace.
Saved by grace. When I stood condemned. I'd like to thank the Lord for saving my soul. And this song means a lot to me because the verses, when you think about the verses are short, but the chorus to the song is forever. And when you hear the chorus to this song, it's called He'll Roll You Over the Tide. It's my favorite song because when I'm down or I'm scared or there's something upsetting me in my life, I can always know that He is right there with me and He'll roll me over the tide. And you may not see it in that moment, but God is real and He is on the scene. In an instant when you call on Him, He is there with you. And it doesn't matter whether you're in church or whether you're in your car driving down the road, no matter where you're at, God is with you. And I praise the Lord for what He's done for me because He's brought me through so much. And I've been through a lot of things in my life, but I always knew one thing, and that was that God would be with me, and He would encourage me, and He would give me the strength that I needed to go on. So listen to the words of this song.
Heaven, and He It's good to be. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. This thing on now. You sure? There we go. I am a little bit hoarse this morning. I apologize. Y'all pray for my voice that I'd be able to get clear enough you could hear and understand me. I think as much as I love cold weather, it's the pollen. Somebody asked me this morning, they said, did you pray for this cold weather? I said, since February. Because when it rose above 55 degrees, I started praying for cold weather. Okay, that's just the way that I am. Now, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We're going to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. And last week we preached on, you know, the first portion of the scripture. Now, that's really the first portion of the scripture. We preached an entire message last week. Is really just the first point this week. But I'm going to read through this, and I'm going to go through the 14th chapter and into the 15th chapter. I'm going to preach on this subject, sincerely seeking the Lord. Now, if you look at this scripture, there's three chapters in the book of 2 Chronicles dedicated to King Asa. Asa was the great-grandson of King Solomon. And we talked last week about how that in just four generations, the people had drifted far, far away from God. And that how Asa had come on the scene and God had moved in his heart. And the first point this morning is I want us to see, and I'm going to read it, is the first seven verses was Asa's dedication. It was the dedication that he had to the Lord. And I want to read these verses, and then because I've got several points to cover, and then I want to get into how it applies to us. You know, when you're into the Word of God, especially when you're reading through the Old Testament and in the New, there are three applications in Scripture that you can look at. You can look at the historical application, which is the actual happening. It's what really happened. What did God do? What was God really doing during this time? And historically, this event happened just like it says. But then you look at the doctrinal application and you look at what it teaches us. But then what we really need to be able to do is look at the practical or the spiritual application of what it does when it applies to our life. You see, God wants us to read His Word and understand how to live our lives today in the day and time that we're living in. In one place, the Scripture says these things happened as in samples or examples unto you and I so that we would know how to live. So I want to read the first seven verses of 2 Chronicles 14, and I want you to see the dedication that he had. It said, so Abijah, which was Asa's father, slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead, and in his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and brake down the images and cut down the groves. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. He also took away out of the cities of Judah the high places, the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. He built defense cities and the land had rest, and they had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, and we have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Now those seven verses were the entire message last week. This morning, I just want to give it to you as one point, in that Asa sought the Lord with his whole heart. His whole heart, he sought the Lord. And what did we talk about last week? One was recognition. He took inventory. He saw that there was trouble in the land, and he recognized what was wrong. Then the second was demolition. It's where Asa cleaned house. It's where he came in, and he got rid of everything that did not please God. And then we go further, we see where that there was rebuilding. See, and to rebuild, you have to get rid of all the things that are not pleasing to the Lord. So there was rebuilding, and the people had rebuilt what had fallen. And then there was prospering. Because when you follow God and you seek God with your whole heart, God's going to bless you. That's what the Word of God says, and God is faithful to His Word. Now, this portion of this message, it was Asa's service. But what we're going to talk about today in sincerely seeking the Lord is Asa's salvation. Because if you go to the next step in this scripture and you go down to the 9th verse, the first point is the dedication. The second is the danger. Because I want you to see that just because they had sought God, they had served God, they were living for God, and they were doing what God wanted them to do, did not mean that there wasn't trouble potentially that could come. And if we look at this scripture in the 9th verse and the 10th verse, it says, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000 and 300 chariots and came to Marashah." You know, in the day and time we're living in, when you hear someone talk about a million-man army, people take notice. Well, here we are in the days of Asa, the great-great-grandson of Solomon. And there's a million-man army and 300 chariots. Now, that would be like a million-man army marching with 300 tanks. So when you see them coming on the horizon, it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to take notice. And in the 10th verse, it says, "Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zarephath and Marashah." Now, here's the danger, and this is what I want you to understand. They were seeking God, they were serving God, but it did not mean that there wasn't danger on the horizon. It did not mean that trouble could not come. It did not mean that the enemy was not lurking, looking for an opportunity. You see, unfortunately, this is what I want you to understand. Seeking the Lord with a whole heart does not exempt us from outside attack. Seeking the Lord with a whole heart does not mean that you will not have trouble or you will not face the enemy. You see, after 10 years of peace, Asa's corner of the world was invaded by a huge Cushite Ethiopian army for no apparent reason. And Asa's godliness did not guarantee a smooth road for the rest of his life. Now, I'd love to be able to tell you that it does, but it doesn't. You see, I'd love to be able to tell you that because you're seeking God and you're in God's house and you're trying to serve the Lord, that everything's going to be smooth, that the enemy's not going to be coming against you. But that's not what the Scriptures teach us. So first we see the dedication, then we see the danger, then I want you to see the dependence. Go down to the 11th verse. It says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go out against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let no man prevail against thee." Now, folks, that's a very important prayer. That's a very important segment in this scripture when you begin to look at it. Because he had proved that he was dedicated when he said, "We're going to get rid of everything that's not right with God." And they're serving God with 10 years of peace, and God is prospering. And then on the horizon, there's an enemy that has great strength that wants nothing more than to destroy everything that they have. And this is what I want you to understand about the enemy. You can't ignore him. You can't turn your back on him. Because the enemy, when he comes to destroy, he's coming after you. He's coming after your spouse. And he's coming after your children. And if he could, he would have taken them away. The ones that weren't killed would have been taken away captive. Now he looks at them and he sees their strength. And what does Asa do? I'll tell you what Asa does. He does exactly what we should do. He falls down and he says, "God, whether it's many or whether it's great, they're nothing when it comes to standing before you, God." And he cried out that God would help them. And they began to cry out to God. And here's something that I want you to understand in a time of trouble. People who are seekers. I'm talking about people who are seeking God on a daily basis. They know what to do when the enemy comes. They know what to do when danger comes. Because these people, the reason he prayed the way he did, is they had already been praying that way for 10 years. They had already been praying that God would reveal to him his will, that God would show them the direction that they should go. And when the enemy came and trouble came, it was perfectly natural for Asa to fall on his knees and say, God, there's nothing before you. Because he had a relationship with God. They cried out to a God that they had a relationship with. Well, now look a little farther and let's look at the next thing in this scripture. Let's look at the deliverance. Look at the 12th verse. It says, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them to Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. It says, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. And they smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Now, you know, they cried out to God, and God delivered them. You see, the Lord smote the enemy, the enemy fled, the enemy was destroyed. Now, if you look at it from a natural standpoint, the enemy was great. The enemy was powerful. But here's what I want us to understand about serving God and living for God. God does not look at things in the natural because he is supernatural. And when he comes on the scene and he is acting in our behalf, he does things sometimes to honor and bring glory to himself that you and I will not even understand and fathom with a natural mind. And here God moved in a supernatural way, and God destroyed the enemy before them. Now, if you look at this, you could see them rejoicing and praising God. But it's kind of surprising what happens in this story, because the very next thing that happens is God sends a prophet to speak to Asa. Now you'd think that he would come and give him a high five and say, we just want to tell you how great a job that you did. But I want you to listen to what the prophet spoke to him. Because when the prophet came, there was a call for a deeper dedication to God. Now, I believe even though we're here this morning and God is blessing Hiram First Baptist Church, we need to pay attention to this part of this message. Because what we need to do is sincerely seek the Lord while there is opportunity. Look at what the prophet says in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse number 1. It says, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. That's tough scripture right there. You know, what we want to do is we want to say that God's going to do it for us regardless. That's not what this says. He said he's with you when you're with him. But if you forsake him, he's going to forsake you. And then it goes on and he speaks and he says, for now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Now I want to go back and read this second verse again. It says, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now here's a call to deeper dedication and closeness to God. Now when you begin to look at this scripture, you'll see exactly what Asa does. Go to the 8th verse and you'll see how Asa responds. It says, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altars of the Lord that were before the porch of the Lord. Now you go on and read, and here's what Asa did. And when the prophet came and he spoke to Asa, he remembered, yes, you were dedicated. Yes, you served God for 10 years, but then danger come. When danger come, they cried out to God for deliverance. And the God who is mighty, the God who answers, the only God, the one, the true, and the living God, he delivered them. But then here's what we need to be careful of. When we look at this scripture, the prophet came. He said, don't forget where your blessings come from. And then when he cried to Asa and he told him, he said, God is with you as long as you are with him. Here's what Asa did. He started going back and looking for things that he missed the first time. It's kind of like this. He went and checked the desk drawers to make sure he didn't miss anything. He looked in the closet to make sure there wasn't something there that maybe would bring reproach upon his house, and said, we're going to get rid of everything that's not right with God. To the extent that when he began to look, if you go down and read the 12th verse, it says, they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and with their whole heart and with their soul. You see, they said, we're committed that we're going to serve God. We're committed that we're going to be right with God. And in the 15th verse, it says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought them with their whole desire. Now listen to those words, with their whole desire. A couple of weeks ago here I was preaching and I asked the question, I said, what would it take to satisfy you? Now I want you to look inside your heart right now. What is your number one desire? The Holy Spirit's already showed it to you. And if it's not to be right with God, to seek God first, you got a problem right now. With their whole desire, they sought the Lord. And it says, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. You know, sometimes when you're going to seek God with your whole heart, and it's just like that song we sing, he's got to be first or he is nowhere. It means you got to do business with God. You see, Asa loved the Lord first. And you find the example of that in something very difficult that Asa had to do if you go down to the 16th verse. Because when Asa began to look around and find everything that was not right with God, he found something in his own house. It says, and also concerning Micah, this is the 16th verse, says the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. You see, even his mother, he removed her from being queen mother because she was hiding something abominable before God in her house. He says, God's going to be first. Now, when I look at this scripture and I begin to look at it sincerely seeking the Lord, we see that Asa sincerely sought the Lord. Now, historically, folks, I believe it happened just like we read it. But when I look at it and I begin to seek the will of God and look at it, I believe God wants us to be able to apply what we've learned from the scripture to our own hearts and our own lives. And we can go right back through the same points, and that's what I want to do, and that's what I want you to see. It's number one, our dedication. We talked about it last week. We should seek the Lord with our whole heart. We need to know him. But you know why a lot of times people don't cry out to God? You don't cry out to somebody you don't know. You know, over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, to be rewarded, number one, you got to believe. You got to believe in Christ Jesus as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Not only do you need to believe, but you need to seek Him. If you're not seeking Him, you're not going to be rewarded by Him. You see, if you believe Him and you seek Him, you will be found of Him and you will find Him and you will have a relationship with Him. But just because, same thing with us, we seek Him, we believe Him, it does not mean that we won't face danger. It does not mean that we will not face difficulty. Number two, you will. What about our danger? What about the things that we face in our lives? I want you to understand that the enemy is looking for a way in. Okay? He's looking for a way into your home. He's looking for a way into our church. He's looking for a way into the ministries here to do anything that he can. And I'll tell you this much this morning. The devil does not care if you come to church. He just does not want you to come to church and be impacted by it. He does not want you to come to church and hear preaching where God is exalted, or where the blood of Jesus is preached, or where the cross of Christ is presented as the answer to man's sins, or where it's told that Jesus was rose from the grave, and because He lives, we can live. Doesn't matter if you come to church, but when you go out the door, you're not any different than you were when you came in. He doesn't care. But what the enemy is doing is he's looking for a way in to stop God from having His will and way. He wants to stop God from being on the throne. And unfortunately for you and I, seeking the Lord with our whole heart does not exempt us from outside attack. See, our godliness will not guarantee a smooth road for the rest of our lives. I wish that it would. You see, I got saved at a young age. I was 12 years old. And I can remember. I could tell you the story. It was the preacher was preaching. It was like a cup of cold water being poured on me when the Holy Spirit of God said, He's talking to you. I came down. I got saved. Okay, I thought life was grand. It wasn't long after that, I was sitting in church and I heard the pastor, he was preaching and he started preaching about Job. And he said this, he said, just because you're a Christian and you're serving God doesn't mean that nothing bad will ever happen to you. Now, I was just a young man. I really was what I call today just a youth. And I was sitting there, and just like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and let me know that preacher's talking to you, you're lost. God woke me up right then to let me realize that just because you're serving God and walking with God doesn't mean you'll never have a rough road. Doesn't mean you'll never have a problem. It doesn't mean you'll never have any trouble. It doesn't mean that everything will be all right. You see, if it was guaranteed to be that way, people would be lining up at the door saying, give me some of that. And they'd be like they were in the book of Acts. They'd have their checkbook out. They'd be trying to buy it because they don't want to just simply believe in the free gift of God. Now, I wish that I could tell you, if you just serve the Lord, nothing bad will ever happen. But that's not true. See, as a 12-year-old boy, it scared me when I heard this kind of preaching. Because I began to realize that I may have some battles. And I'll tell you, in my Christian walk, I have had some battles. You see, sometimes living the Christian life is a common misconception that if you live for God, nothing ever bad will happen to you. Folks, that's simply not true. And we see it in this story where for 10 years, Asa said, we're getting rid of everything that's not right with God. And one day he looks and here comes an army that absolutely scares him to death. I wish I could tell you that I never have battles. And I wish I could tell you that you won't. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, the scripture says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Sometimes I look at my wife and we're facing something and I say, why in the world do we even have to go through this? You know, after all, we're just trying to serve God. Our schedules are so busy. We got so much going on. We want God to have His way. Why are we having to deal with this? And I don't think I'm the only one. But when I look at this scripture and I see what happened to Asa, what did Asa do? He did exactly what you and I need to do. But you got to be doing it every day. You see, our dedication, we see the danger that we face. But what about our dependence? What about our dependence? You see, in such a moment, seekers, people who are constantly, daily pursuing God, they know what to do. Now, I want to tell you something. There's been times that I know what to do. I simply do not like being in the situation. I don't like being in the situation that there are roadblocks and stumbling blocks and troubles and aggravations thrown in my way. I want them just to move out of the way so I can serve God. But God wants to remind us, just like when the prophet came, that I'm with you. If you're with me, don't forget where I'm at. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. This is the key verse. If you've ever gone to see the movie War Room, if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You see, what did Asa do? He went into his closet. And if you come back over here at the 11th verse, it says, "And Asa cried to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let no man prevail against us." Now I want to tell you something. If you're offending one of the children of God and they know how to pray, you better look out. Because when God is on your side, it doesn't matter how strong the enemy is. The enemy should beware. And I'm saying this to the enemy. The enemy should beware of anyone who understands the value of the power of the prayer closet. You see, because when you know how to pray and you come before God and you come humbly before Him and you don't come like the scribes on the corner where everybody will see it, but you go into the closet and you start seeking God with your whole heart, He'll move on your behalf because His Word says that He has to. We understand as Christians that we are our strongest when we are on our knees. And when we cry to a God that we already have a relationship with. And here's what the key is. Okay, God is not a spare tire. God is not a set of jumper cables. He is the King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. And you need to be talking to Him every day because you never know when you're going to hear the sound of the ambulance. You never know when the tires are going to screech. You never know when the phone's going to ring. You never know when a lump's going to come up in your body. And you're going to need to have a relationship with a living God. That's why you need to pray to Him every day. See, if you cry to Him on a regular basis, you won't be out of fellowship with Him when you need Him. When the enemy comes, you can cry out and you can drop on your knees. It's instant. He's in the midst and He's present and He's part of your life and He's your Lord and He's your King. And that's where our dependence comes from. It comes from crying out to a God that is ever present and never distant. See, don't let God be a stranger. Let Him take His proper place in your life. That's our dependence. What about our deliverance? See, if we look at this story, the Lord smote the enemy and the enemy fled. The enemy was destroyed. There have been times in my life, and I begin to think about it, and I'll just be honest with you, as I went and watched this film this past week, I'm sitting in the theater, and obviously the theater's bigger than this. I was sitting in that theater watching that movie and people started saying amen. Over here I heard somebody shout. Over here I had somebody say yes, Lord. Over here I heard somebody say praise the Lord. Over here they were clapping. Over here they were giving rejoice because when they showed the scene when there was a wall, they said answered prayers and there was a name. And then there was another name. Do you ever stop long enough to count your blessings and look at how many times that God has answered your prayers? I will tell you, just in the year that I've been here, and I begin to think about it this week, And I could write down name after name after name where God's answered prayers. Some of them were people being saved. Some of them were people being healed. Some of them were situations that are worked out in such a way. Do you know when you and I don't understand, when you and I don't know what to do, when you and I don't have the answer, what we should do is just cry out to God. Because He's not limited by what we are. You ever had a problem and you think about it like this? You start trying to figure out how it's going to work out. I mean, you just stress about it and you worry about it and you just, you know, you're convinced. It just can't work out right. And all of a sudden, God, in His greatness, in His wonderful power, He comes on the scene and He does things in His greatness that you and I, we wouldn't even think about because we're limited. Oh, we can't do it ourselves. And God moves on our behalf amazingly through His Spirit. See, when I make a list of those answered prayers, there are some where God says no. And we don't like that. But God's sovereign and He's all-knowing and He knows more than we do. And if God answered every prayer, we wouldn't spend eternity in heaven. We'd spend it here. Sometimes God says later. Sometimes God says, I'll move, but not today. Sometimes we have to be like the Scripture says, where we have to have prayer and fasting. And we cry out to God, and it's what we want more than anything else. And the Scripture tells us when we seek Him with our whole heart, we'll find Him. But sometimes God says yes. And I've heard God say yes so many times in my life. When I begin to write them down, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by His goodness. I'm overwhelmed by His mercy. I'm overwhelmed by His love because He has delivered us. When the enemy comes against us and when they're great in number and when they're vast, I've learned to cry out to God. And if I in myself don't speak out, don't walk my way, don't do it my way, but continue to seek God and wait patiently on the Lord, He moves in mighty ways and He delivers. But the last thing I want you to see, just like the prophet, He came to them and He spoke to them. He said, if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He'll forsake you. See, it's unfortunate in America today that people want the blessings of God without getting on their knees before God. People want God to bless America, but they want to live like the devil. That's where we're at. We want God to bless our homes, but we don't want to be committed to doing the things that we need to do that God would move on our behalf. We want God to bless our children, but we don't live as a good example in front of them. And the words that come out of our mouth, we don't want coming out of theirs. We're not examples. We're not living for God. That's why God's not moving on our behalf. And we blame God? All you got to do, He says, is if you'll walk with Me, I'll walk with you. You see, God is calling us, just like He did Asa, to a deeper dedication with Him. You see, and here's something that I understand about my own life, and I believe it's true about everyone, is the more you seek God, the more you see your need to seek Him. You see, the more I study the Word of God, I'm just going to be honest with you, the more I study it, the more I realize I don't know. The more I read it, the more I realize that there is areas in my life for me to be more like Jesus. And when we seek Him, He will bless us. Well, what about when we stop seeking Him? Can we blame Him if He's not there? You see, the truth is, God must be first. 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 And ask the question and look at our own hearts and our life. Who or what gets your first loyalty? What gets your first loyalty? For some people, it's their career. Got to have that career. You know, I'll go anywhere they ask me to go. They ask me sometimes, are you mobile? No. If I go outside the southern United States, they'd kill me the way I talk. But some people, it's their career. Or you can even call it a job. It's first, it's more than anything else. You know, sometimes for youth, it's my friends. If I can't text my friends, you think life's over. Some people, it's their family. I love my wife. She's a great lady. But I want to tell you what makes our marriage work is God. Because when I met her, here's what was in my heart, and I mean this. I was praying for God would send me somebody that I wouldn't have to fight to go to church on Sunday. I just want God to send somebody in my life that when I said God's called me to preach, she'd be there praying for me. And I think with exception of what, two times in our life, every time I've ever preached, she was there praying for me. One, she was having a baby. Couldn't blame her for that. But can I tell you that for that to work, God has to be first. My wife can't be first. My mother can't be first. My dad, who's gone to be with the Lord, he was the greatest man I've ever known, but he can't be first. And I want to tell you, because he served God and he walked with God, it's not enough. I had to come and repent for myself. What about your hobbies? I got mine. Folks, I've had every driver that they make, and it did not make one bit of difference. I got enough sporting goods stuff to open a store. When I die, my wife can retire on it. But can I tell you, it's not before the Lord. There's nothing in my heart and my passion that's more important than God. And more important than getting you to understand God. But you know, here's where I think people have the biggest problem. What's first to most people is the love of self. I'm going to satisfy myself and I'm going to do what I want to do no matter what. And it's none of your business. Well, can I tell you, I'm nobody. Let me go ahead and tell you, I'm nobody. I'm just trying to be what God wants me to be. God's called me to do this. And I believe this book, and it is burning desire in my heart. But when God speaks to your heart through the Holy Spirit, that's not me, that's Him. And if God is not first in your life, I promise you, you're going to go through life and you're going to struggle. You're going to face danger, and you're going to cry out to God, and He's not going to be instant on the scene because you've not been in relationship with Him. You've not been communicating with Him, and you're going to look for Him. Amen. And He says, but if you forsake me, all bets are off. I want to ask them to come on and get ready with a song, and we're going to give you an opportunity to pray in just a minute. See, to please God, you need single-hearted service to God. God must be first. All other things must take their place behind Him. God must be first. That's relationships. That's my life. That's the decisions that I make about my life. That's where I go to school. That's where I work. That's who I marry. God must be first. If God is not first, you're going to have struggles. And you're going to wonder how, and you're going to wonder why. How can it get better? And I've seen people do this. They come to the Lord and they want God to help them. And God will help you when you come to Him now. But the reason we can't get what we need is we're really not willing to say, God, I've come to put you first. And after I put you first, then help me get all these things where they need to be. If you would stand to your feet as they sing tonight, this morning, whatever God has spoke to your heart about, this is your opportunity to pray. We have an altar on both sides. Most importantly, if you don't know Jesus, there's nothing more important you'll ever do in your life. But if you're struggling, you got anything in your life you need help with, I want to tell you something. God's wanting. He's still the same place you left him. God has not moved, amen. As they sing, this is the opportunity to pray. Y'all got one more y'all can sing? Okay. Miss Judy's going to sing Going Home. We got people still praying this morning. We're going to open the doors of the church this morning. If you want to be a part of this church, you can still come pray. But if you want to be a part of this church, we're going to receive members by baptism or by statement of faith if you'd like to be a part of what God's
Many
doing at this church.
In my childhood, when we traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round. child, we're going home. Going home, I'm going home. There's nothing to hold. Get so heavy, and I'm longing to see all my loved ones and friends I have known. Every step draws me nearer to that land.
Good singing this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Glad to have you with us. Let's don't forget Awana tonight. Amen.